Well, since a picture's worth a thousand words, and I have a limited amount of time to tell you the amazing story of how God brought me first to himself and then to Cedarville College, I thought, wow, I should just use pictures and talk through the pictures. Well, part of the challenge of that, though, is most of my life has been lived pre-photo-taking cell phones and Facebook. So while that might have been a good idea, it wasn't going to be one that could be executed very well. But I do have a few that I've sprinkled in here that might be helpful to give you a little insight as to who I am, who I was, and who I've become. The story of my life is God's story. He gave me life, and then he gave me new life. And he's blessed me with the privilege of having that life be wonderfully linked with the work he's doing in and through Cedarville University. So I tried to figure out what's the right title for this, and I decided God knows the plans he has for me. And then an aside, and I didn't have a clue. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So let's get started. I was born at a very young age. Thank you. Into a home that was struggling. You see, I was the third of three girls born within 5 years to a dad who was trying to make a good living for his family now that World War II was over, and to a mom who had started turning to alcohol to handle life as she was now finding it. Dad had been a B-25 navigator during the war, and he used his love for mathematics and precision toward becoming a toolmaker. But we were just too much for my mom, my biological mom, so my parents were divorced when I was a little over a year old, and my dad was given custody of us three girls. We moved in with his parents and lived there for almost 4 years. I cannot imagine what that was like for my dad and for my grandparents. But for me, I was just a little kid, and the world was all about me. Actually, I kind of liked how things were going. What wasn't to like? I was the youngest, clearly the cutest, and totally spoiled by my grandparents. Just ask my sisters. I do believe my grandparents were born again, but unfortunately, I didn't even know what that meant until after they were gone. We lived four houses from the St. Paul Methodist Church in Dayton, and I'm pretty sure we were there every time the doors opened. And one of my fondest and strongest memories from living with my grandparents is hearing my grandmother play the old hymns of the faith on the baby grand piano in her living room. Sadly, my dad was a product of that church whose denominational leadership was carried away by modernism during his teen years. When I attempted to share the gospel with him later in life, he said, "Oh, you can make the Bible say whatever you want." He thought church was a good place for kids, but he struggled to find its relevance for his life. Out of respect and appreciation for his parents, he attended church while we lived with them. And he too had a great love for those old hymns of the faith. I praise the Lord that God's word, which was so beautifully proclaimed in many of those old hymns, did not return void. My dad came to saving faith in Jesus Christ less than an hour before he had a massive brain bleed that would take his life. I am so grateful. I'm going to get to share eternity with him. The summer before I turned 5, I would finally get to go to school, like my sisters. You know, us little kids, we always want to do what the big kids do. I learned we were getting a new mom, and we're going to get our own house. While there were exciting things about that new arrangement, life had really been pretty good with Grandma and Grandpa, so I wasn't so sure I was interested in the change. But things did start out pretty well for me. Within a month of moving into our new house, I got to start school. And since my birthday's in September, I got to have this really neat cowgirl birthday party for my 5th birthday. But soon the reality of life with my new mom started sinking in. She didn't seem to realize I never did anything wrong or that I should always get what I wanted. More than once, I seriously contemplated how I could run away to Grandma's house. I cannot imagine how many times Mom heard, "Grandma doesn't do it that way." But the fact was, she was exactly the mom God knew I needed. I learned obedience, and I learned about authority. You see, when mom stated something was or was not to be, that actually wasn't a topic for discussion, or it wasn't a suggestion. It was a directive. It was to be followed, and it was to be followed immediately. She helped bring the discipline and respect for authority I sorely needed to learn. I don't know that she knew it, but mom was really implementing the teachings of Proverbs 22:6 about training up a child, this child, in the way she should go. While things were a little hard at home from my 5-year-old perspective, I was finally getting to go to school, and I loved it. Teachers were the coolest people in the universe, and they taught you all kinds of wonderful things, and I was an eager and reasonably effective learner. My love affair with all things school had officially begun. Little did I realize I was going to spend the rest of my life in school. The next stage in my early development happened when God sent a little brother into our family. Well, at some level, this was somewhat devastating since he was now the youngest and he was the only boy. The good thing was I finally had somebody to play ball with. Unfortunately, I didn't realize, having never had a younger sibling before, how long it takes him to get big enough to play ball. What I did figure out pretty early was that he was somebody I could play school with. And although he was not nearly as easy to keep in his seat as my dolls and teddy bear had been, that gave me some early training in classroom management. My desire to become a teacher grew stronger every day, at times to my brother's dismay. Now, my dad was an avid fisherman, and from an early age, he shared that love with us. We all caught it, pun intended. And to this day, we still enjoy fishing whenever we can. I actually have a half-acre catch-and-release pond on my property to kind of prove that point. What I've since realized is that God used fishing to help me learn about the value of silence and patience and sustained, attentive alertness. I learned how to handle disappointment and to be thrilled beyond measure. Did you ever run into a school of perch? That is fun. Special times, precious memories, and good lessons. Take time for those current and future parents. While mom and dad didn't see church as very important or valuable for them, they did acknowledge it's important for us kids, so we were sent to church religiously every Sunday. Sadly, the church that was closest was not a Bible-believing, gospel-teaching church, but I do believe God actually used it to help me get me where he ultimately needed me to be. As I started my freshman year in high school, I was encouraged to take college prep courses, even though it was really unlikely I'd ever get to go to college. You see, we weren't a college family. We were a blue-collar family. My mom hadn't even graduated high school, and my dad was the second son in the family, and so only the first son got sent to college. It was understood that I would attend John H. Patterson Cooperative High School in downtown Dayton, just like my two older sisters had. It was a one-of-a-kind high school, 10th through 12th grade, that provided professional and technical education in nursing, secretarial studies, sheet metal, a variety of other skilled trades and professions. It was an incredible educational resource for students from non-college families. And since nobody in our family viewed college as particularly valuable or important or even appropriate, it looked like my childhood dream of becoming a teacher was just going to have to stay that way, just a childhood dream. So secretarial studies became my career choice. So I headed off to downtown Dayton to go to Patterson Co-op. But you know what? It was the first time I'd ever actually taken a bus to school. You see, during elementary school, I walked the mile each way to school 4 times a day because we came home for lunch. And then my first year of high school, it was a 2-mile walk to that high school, so I did that twice a day. So I got regularly 4 miles of aerobic work every day of my school life up until my sophomore year. I'm thinking God used that to get me ready to work with Dr. Morris to help write the PACL book that we used for several years here at the university. During the spring of my junior year, my new principal, Mr. Whiteman, interestingly, called me into his office and shared that I was probably going to be one of the 2 students in my class to receive a full tuition scholarship to the University of Dayton. UD did that to try to keep Daytons in Dayton, an interesting approach. And so he said if I was going to go to UD, I needed to probably change some of my classes that I was scheduled to take my senior year because apparently 3 years of shorthand wasn't exactly what they were looking for to get ready for college. This was kind of exciting, but it was also pretty scary. Maybe I really could go to college, and maybe I could become a teacher. God was putting the pieces together to get me where he wanted me to be, and I didn't have a clue. He put me in a secure moral home where, although I never heard the gospel message, I did know about God, and I knew about Jesus. I just didn't know enough, and I didn't know my great need. He gave me a love of learning and of being involved in all things school-related. And now I was graduating high school, and he was giving me the opportunity to go to college. Who knew? University of Dayton is a Catholic institution, and the Catholic students had to take a series of Catholic catechism classes. So those of us who were not Catholic got to take an 18-hour philosophy minor. And it started with a course called Moral and Spiritual Values. We learned the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas and Aristotle and many others, and my mind almost blew up with the exposure to so many ideas and ways of thinking about the meaning of life. Interestingly, about this same time, my sister Beverly shared with me that she had become a Christian and that I needed to ask Christ to be my personal savior. Now, as only a younger sister, who is now a big college freshman, could be to a sister who didn't go to college, I was pretty mean and cruel. And I said some pretty ugly things to her. I think it was part of my defense I was already putting up. Just for the record, she was the first person I called after I got saved. Back to being a college freshman, I commuted to the University of Dayton on a bus, actually, and was petrified the first several weeks. You see, I was pretty convinced that I really wasn't college material and that I was going to flunk out. And I was really kind of glad Mom had made sure I would develop secretarial skills so I could at least support myself. But soon, I actually started to really thoroughly enjoy it, and this new level of schooling was really quite nice. I had declared health and physical education as my major, and the combination of new activity classes, who ever heard of field hockey? I grew up in Dayton, we had ice hockey, not field hockey. And philosophy classes and science classes expanded my learning and thinking way beyond anything I'd ever experienced, and I absolutely loved it. My poor parents now were totally at a loss for how to respond to me. I kind of felt like I had two lives, the life I was living at school and the life I lived at home. But I really did love them, and I appreciated them so much. My freshman year. I'll never forget the devastation of getting my first English paper back. I don't know how many red pens that faculty member went through that semester, but I'm sure she used several just on my papers. This was devastating. I thought I was a reasonably good writer. My English teacher didn't think so, but she sure helped me become a better writer. That is, once I humbled myself and admitted that I still did have quite a few things to learn. Not very far down, I absolutely loved this new challenge. I loved somebody telling me I could do better. God was at work. He was getting me where I needed to be. As a health and physical education major, we were encouraged to be involved in intramurals, get involved in officiating, get involved in athletics, well, such as it was for us in the 60s. You see, back then, there really wasn't much for women in athletics. But we did have a freshman girls basketball team at UD. You'll notice the fascinating uniforms. Okay, those aren't uniforms. Those are what we used to call in gym classes pinnies that you put over your, those were our majors' uniforms, white shorts, white blouses, cotton, had to be ironed. Okay, we won't go there. To this day, I still don't iron. So I started my kind of athletic career and really got into officiating. Very much enjoyed officiating and became actually a nationally ranked official in women's basketball and volleyball at the collegiate level. We had no field experiences in our whole 4 years until we had student teaching. I'm glad we've changed that approach to education. But because of that, we had to get 1,800 hours of some kind of experience with school-aged children, K to 12. Well, for a physical educator, the best way to do that was at camp. The little teeny problem with that was I'd actually never gone to camp before. So I was trying to figure out, so how am I going to go be a counselor when I've never actually been to camp? Well, God gave me the courage to go ahead and sign up. Some of our faculty recommended a campfire girl camp up on Kaiser Lake here in Ohio, Camp Shawano. So I signed up, and they said that some of the people from a place called Cedarville College were running the camp, and were actually the students, a lot of them were counselors at the camp. I'd never heard of Cedarville College, but sounded like, okay, at least there'll be other college students there. What was wonderful was I got a summer-long dose of some really nice people. And with their help, I survived being a counselor. God was clearly working through this to get me where he wanted me to be and to get me acquainted with some people who had a very important message for me to hear. I entered my sophomore year absolutely thrilled that I had survived my freshman year. The sophomore year is a fascinating year. You kind of feel like you have arrived. You're comfortable in college. You kind of feel like you almost know everything because you survived that freshman year. You know how things, and you even know where the buildings are. So you're pretty confident. So I became a member of every team that was available. There wasn't much there. It was field hockey. We had basketball. We had volleyball. Oh, by the way, it was the six-player game for girls. You had two rovers, you know, two defense people, and two forwards. And so I was grateful at least I got to be a rover. It was a little more like boys basketball. Interesting times. One of the schools we played in almost every sport was Cedarville College. That name kept popping up. And one of their faculty members actually that year, my sophomore year, had actually come to be a faculty member at the University of Dayton. While I'm sure there were many times Mary Alice wondered why God took her there, I'm sort of thinking it was partly because of me. Thank you again, Mary Alice, for being there. As I journeyed through that sophomore year, that year when you do feel pretty confident, I was becoming a product of the 60s. We questioned everything. If you were over 30 and you said it, we didn't trust it. It was a tumultuous time, to the point where there were riots on college campuses. Everything was fair game. You attacked everything and your group was really pleased with you. I even started questioning what I really believed about God. So I finally talked to some of my assistant pastors at the church that I was still attending. He suggested that since I had so many good questions, I should teach a Sunday school class. Oh yeah, that's going to be the blind leading the blind. Obviously, I wasn't going to find my answers I was looking for there. Well, what were my questions, you say? Well, things like, so does God really exist? Remember, we're questioning everything. Can I even really know he exists? I was in philosophy classes. The question whether you can know anything. Is the Bible really true? Because I was looking for truth. Was Jesus real? And if he was, did he really rise from the dead? How can that happen? And then there were some basic things more personal to me. What is the purpose of life? More specifically, what's the purpose of my life? How in the world can I really know and count on anything? While I found great enjoyment and satisfaction in burying myself in my classwork and my involvement on my teams, there was a growing restlessness. The unsettledness of the culture, the Vietnam War, the stream of often asked, never answered questions in my philosophy classes. Even my Catholic classmates weren't much help. They had as much growing doubt and cynicism as I was developing. Finally, the summer came and I got to go back to camp and I felt confident. Remember, it's my sophomore year, second time for everything. I was now a veteran counselor and hoping to have some more of those wonderful conversations with those Cedarville people. I was not disappointed. I'll never forget one particular conversation I had that summer. Mary Alice Jeremiah, the sister of David Jeremiah, that some of you may have heard of, and the daughter of Dr. James T. Jeremiah, for whom this chapel is named, she was helping run the camp again, and one particular weekend, she let me go with her to her house for the 24 hours off we had between weeks of camp. She was an easy person to talk to, and so as we were chatting, I asked her what church she went to and why she went there. We joked later, I don't think I got to ask another question for at least 3 hours. As I later learned, it was the opening she and the other faculty and students at Cedarville College had been praying for. She gave me many things to think about, showed me many things out of her Bible, and gave me some other materials and suggested I started reading the book of John. She also invited me to go to church at Grace Baptist here in Cedarville. By then I had my 62 Bug. And so that little 62 Volkswagen Bug made lots of trips over to Cedarville. What a very different experience that church service was compared to what I was used to. The pastor of the church would actually teach and preach out of the Bible. At my church, they just gave a talk. They would read a passage of scripture at some point in the service, but it really wasn't Bible-based. They didn't have a high view of scripture. The people going to church actually carried their Bibles with them, and they wrote in their Bibles. I was a little appalled at that. I thought that was probably not something we were supposed to do. What did I know? And they sang message-filled songs and many hymns I hadn't heard before, and they sang them with a passion and a fervor I never had heard in my church. And they didn't read their prayers. They actually talked to God. Wow, that was very different. My junior year began to unfold, and I longed for closure for my search. I don't do well in unsettled, and this unsettled feeling of not being able to trust anything or be true and sure was becoming annoyingly uncomfortable. I wanted real purpose in my life. I wanted real meaning in my life. I wanted to know what was really true. Little did I realize how that was going to get settled. God now had me exactly where he wanted me, at a field hockey tournament in Muncie, Indiana, hosted by Ball State University. Our team just happened to stay at the same Holiday Inn as Cedarville College's team. I don't think it was happen. The Cedarville team invited our team to come over for their team devotions Friday evening after we had finished playing all day. I went. In that devotional time, the girls sang wonderful songs that they obviously sang with joy and a peace and a confidence that was incredibly attractive. Then they started sharing about what God was doing in their lives. One of the girls shared that she had just broken off her engagement because she understood the Lord was calling her to the mission field, and the fellow she was engaged to had no interest in doing that. Okay. That kind of a statement, that kind of action to a junior female in college is powerful. God was speaking very directly to me at that point. I went back to my room, my mind filled and going, I need what these girls have. And there was a knock on the door. I thought it was Coach checking up on us. It wasn't. It was Judy Stamatis, one of the members of Cedarville's field hockey team, quite a very good member of that team. She said, "I thought you might want to talk." I said, "I sure do." And we talked probably for over an hour, and that night I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I am so grateful she had the courage, she listened to the Holy Spirit, and came. I am so grateful that God in his providence put all the details together so that I could come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. She reminded me and pointed out that all of us need Christ. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." She said, then Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." And in my search for what was really true, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And that it was nothing I could do on my own. Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says that it's by grace that we're saved through faith. Not our own doing. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any of us could boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and that we should then walk in them. So on November 1st, All Saints Day, I got to become a saint. I finally had real purpose, to live my life for Christ, empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit that was now living in me. I realized the Bible had to be true because it was the Word of God. And it has all the answers I need. And I learned out of Philippians that I need to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in me, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So what do I do now? Do I transfer to Cedarville? I didn't have any money to do that. I was on a full tuition scholarship to the University of Dayton, and I was commuting. That's what I had. So my new friends and colleagues from Cedarville said, well, why don't you continue where you are and see what God does? That seemed like a pretty good idea. So what did God do? He had me graduate from University of Dayton, and then he opened up the door through a four-year university fellowship to The Ohio State University to get my master's and my PhD. How does that happen? God. My poor parents didn't have a clue what was going on now. It's like, well, you just graduated college and you now have to go to more college? What, you didn't do it right? What? It made no sense to them. But I went off and I got my master's in physical education and then I got my PhD in exercise physiology. Now, while I wouldn't recommend Ohio State as the best place for a young believer to grow, God made it work, and he used a wonderful new friend that he brought me, Dr. Delight Morris, who happened to join the faculty at Ohio State the same year I came as a student. That's a fun story. Ask us, we'll tell you about it. She believed in me at a point in time in that little process, and convinced me that I could make it at a time when I didn't think I could make it and thought I should take a very nice position that was offered to me at General Motors. Remember, I was a secretary. I had that skill. But she convinced me I could make it, and she helped make sure that happened. So, I've now got these degrees. Now what do I do? Well, there were several opportunities that I was given until God opened up the door to come to Cedarville College. And so, that's what I really wanted to do. Is it okay to do what you want to do? I wasn't sure that was allowed, but it actually was. He opened up the door so I could come to Cedarville. And so, in 1974, I joined the 60-member faculty. Well, that's really all the faculty, administrators, and I think some other helpers thrown in to get 60. There are a couple people in that picture that are still here yet today. Dr. Murdoch is just up behind me, to my left, right on the screen. And in the top row, second from the right, is Dr. Anderson. So those were some that I could recognize and figure out that they were there when I came. So while I couldn't attend Cedarville as an undergraduate, he's kept me here, growing and learning and serving for more than four decades. I was even blessed to be named an honorary alumna of the class of 1990. God has used me to touch the lives of several thousand students by serving them as a teacher, a coach, or an administrator. I've had the blessing of partnering with hundreds of incredible faculty colleagues who taught me, brought me along, occasionally admonished me, but worked alongside of me to build into the lives of you students. I've served alongside countless staff who themselves have beautiful stories of how God working in their lives brought them to Cedarville, and I've seen their joy in serving you here. And I've had the immense pleasure of serving on the team of four very unique and distinct presidents, all of whom I've watched live out their presidencies, loving the Lord with their hearts, souls, strength, and minds, and loving their students, staff, and faculty as themselves. Now, for almost two decades, while I served here, I assumed the gift of singleness was God's plan for my life, only to learn at the age of 45 that he was providing me with another incredible change in my life. He had Dr. Cliff Johnson ask me to marry him. Cliff had lost his first wife of 46 years, who'd had Parkinson's for almost 20 years, a while before that. And we were quite the talk of the campus, as you might imagine, that year. Interestingly, in the 1994 yearbook, you will see a picture there, this picture, and a picture of Dr. Jeremiah, who also remarried that same academic year. It was quite the year for somewhat more mature romantic relationships on campus. I would love to share the story of how Cliff and I got together, how God made it clear to both of us what he had in mind for us, much to the surprise and delight of both of us. But that's for another day. In my current role as Dean of Undergraduate Studies, I marvel every day at how God prepared me for what he has me doing now. He used my youngest position in the family to help me learn from listening and watching others, and to help me develop that all-important skill of managing up. You know, little sisters can't really tell big sisters what they need to do, but you can get them to figure it out. He used years of collegiate officiating basketball and volleyball all over the country to prepare me to fairly oversee appeal processes here and to make sure that the right things happen with both faculty and students when things don't quite go as they should. He used coaching to help prepare me for working with younger colleagues as they develop in their new roles, as well as to help your parents as they struggle with the difference between high school and college, and with the differences in you as you start maturing through these years here at Cedarville. He's used many faculty, staff, and administrators to exhort and admonish and encourage and shape me, and for that I will be forever grateful. And he used fishing to help me learn patience and to stay attentively alert for important new things that need to happen. What a blessing to be able to spend my entire professional life working and serving in community within an organization that is permeated with gospel purpose, passion, and power. A place where God clearly prepared me to serve. To him be the glory. Let me lead you in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. I thank you for each of these young people, each of these colleagues that has joined us here in this room and across through the internet. Lord, I thank you that you do have a plan for us and that you will reveal it, that you will work it out in our lives as we stay close to you, as we stay in your word, and as we stay sensitive to the leading of your spirit. Father, I pray for each student here that you will strengthen them, encourage them, help them to realize there are other PM deals out there they need to reach. Help them to have the courage, the boldness, the strength, the understanding to do that for you. And we'll give you the praise and rejoice together in his precious name. Amen. You are dismissed.